His work has been banned, burned, and blacklisted. He survived talk show ambushes, protest marches, and death threats. And now Todd Sheets has let him loose on Jackalope Radio. Get ready, because whether you like it or not, you're about to have a heart attack.
Read my lips, I don't care what you say.
This is your first time listening to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley, and we have a very, very special guest with us. I know this person for the last couple of years. I've been lucky enough to meet her through Gokor and Gene at Gokor's Highest On Academy, and I am so psyched to talk to her. But first, we're going to talk about some plagiarism again. A couple episodes back, earlier in the summer, we talked about a plagiarist who was plagiarizing other people's film reviews, and we're talking about Leanne Spider-Baby McDougal. And I guess, Josh, you've found another plagiarist out there who is stealing people's work and taking money for other people's work.
Well, I didn't find them. I mean, you know, I'm not the one who uncovered all the plagiarism, but basically crack.com has been stolen from again. This is about the third time in the last year. Because, see, Cracked is really good. When they get stolen from, they don't just leave it lie. They always post all the evidence to publicly humiliate the plagiarist, which is something I love. Cracked.com got stolen from, yet again, some guy named Sean Monroe, who works for WhatCulture.com, has been stealing all their reviews, but he's actually being clever.
So wait a minute. So it's again with people stealing reviews?
Yep. Well, reviews, ideas, articles, things like that. Because you know how Cracked does those list kind of things. They're less reviews and
for
more.
For the people at home who don't know what we're talking about, Cracked magazine was a humor magazine in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and kind of disappeared a bit at the end of the 90s. It was a humor magazine like Mad Magazine. And in the digital age, Cracked has gone online for Cracked.com. And they've gone a lot further than just a magazine. They're actually pretty funny. The one that I really liked was they had an article about six movie myths about sword making, or six myths about film gunfights and movies, and actually a lot of interesting factual information on here. So this
Cracked
is not
cites their sources too.
Yeah, they're pretty interesting, and I couldn't believe that yet again we're dealing with this plagiarism issue in the digital age. It's so easy to copy and paste. It really is. And I don't know why people don't get more enraged. They just don't understand that when you plagiarize somebody's work and getting paid for it, you just took money out of that other guy's mouth. You just took
this
money away
from that guy.
This is
even sleazier though, Hart. This is even sleazier because this Sean Monroe guy is doing it smart. It doesn't make it less sleazy. It just means he's being smart. As you're writing a Cracked article, if you've been picked up by the editors from Cracked, you have an exclusive little forum that you post in with ideas, and I'd like to do it like this, and how does this sentence work, where other Cracked writers can see it, so all of them can work off of each other and go, oh, that's a good idea, I like that style.
Is this like a cyber crime? Did he hack into this?
No, he joined their group and then stole their stuff, and he posted their articles the day before they did, so when they then posted it, it looks like they stole from him.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal.
He's actually being kind of smart about it. He gave himself a shield that goes, hey, mine went up first.
Yeah, that really blows. And you know, folks, plagiarism, it sucks. It really sucks. When you're a writer, your words are your bricks. That's how you build your house. And for someone to steal what you're using to build your home and feed your family is pretty awful, pretty negative. And this is something that's happening across the board with America. We have a real issue of cheating. There's people in school that are copying their papers instead of doing their papers. And you know, folks, the whole idea of doing the work is you benefit by doing the work. That's a big part of why I'm going to bring on our next guest. Is her book kicked me in the ass, actually. She's got a really good book, and we're going to go to song, and I just want to get into conversation with her. I think she's fabulous. I can't wait to bring her on and start talking. So let's go to song. We'll be right back. I'm Hart Fisher. We got more Heart Attack for you coming up. Folks, welcome back to Heart Attack. That was Happy Little Boozer. I would tell you the name of the band, but it's one of those Nordic bands. So I would absolutely just, I'm going to say it, Korpik Polani. I'm going to just massacre that name.
I was going to say, I want to hear you try and say it.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, guys, but they're a lot of fun. And with me right now is Dr. Anne Maria DeMars, and she is a wonderful, wonderful judo instructor / champion / business owner / game designer. This is a very, very multi-talented woman that was on Forbes top 40 women over 40 to watch. And I got to meet her on the mat. She was throwing me around, choking me out, tapping me out. She blew me away from the very first day she came into Go Course. And so I've been very eager to bring her on. And she's got a really great book, Winning from the Ground. And I was just tearing my house apart looking for the book because I was reading it last night. And I don't know where I set it down because this book kicked me in the butt because it talks a lot about how you got to get off your ass and you got to do it. What made you decide to write this book, Doc?
Well, I'm not getting any younger, and I was just thinking my co-author, Jim Pedro Sr., is even older than me. And I see people have a lot of knowledge in their head. If you don't write it down, it often just disappears when you're gone. And a lot of my friends in judo, the people who mentored me, are in their, you know, 70s now and 80s, and some of them have passed away. And I just got to thinking about that, that when people like Jean LaBelle, say, who I know you know, are gone, some of that knowledge is going to be gone with them if they don't write it down, if they don't put it in a book or get it in a video. So that was one thing. And the other thing, a friend of mine, Roy Hash, who I will still get even with, let me tell you, he said to me, you write this blog. I do the business / judo of life. And he said, you write a post, you know, several times a week. You've got hundreds and hundreds of posts. And, you know, Jimmy used to write this online article, this column for an online judo magazine on coaching. He said, you guys should just take the stuff that you've got and put it together and write a book. And I brought it up to Jim, and he said, yeah, sure, let's do that. And we thought, oh, well, this will be easy. And anybody who has ever written a book laughs at that point, because we thought we would take the material we had, put it together, you know, sort out the best of it, send it in, have a book. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because when you have a blog, somebody can write and say, well, I didn't really get how you got that armbar. You know, what were you doing with your left hand there? And then you can post in the comments and say, well, my left hand was holding him at the wrist or whatever. But in a book, of course, everything has to stand alone. So that was one thing. And then there was a lot of stuff that we had written that was kind of timely, whether we were talking about, you know, this person's in the Olympics and they're doing this, and it didn't really stand the test of time. So it was a very educational experience. So I did it at first thinking I had something to offer and that it would be fun and easy. And at the end, you know, I still think I have something to offer. And it was kind of fun, but it was definitely not easy.
Was that your first book then?
Yeah, it was my first book. I've written a number of chapters in books and published a number of scientific research articles and academic journals. But it's my first book on judo. I'll tell you a secret very few people know. I actually wrote a book, several books, years ago. I was in the wilds of North Dakota, and there was nothing to do in the evenings when I was working. So I actually wrote three kids' novels, like, you know, fantasy novels, and they're called Wizard and Spy, and they're actually for sale, like, on Smashwords and Amazon. They're published under Julia Group. See, I'm just full of things you don't know.
You are full of things. Folks at home, this is a person who surprises the fuck out of me all the time. When I first met her, when she was brought into Go Corps, and I met her first as, you know, Dr. DeMars, judo expert, guest instructor, and I didn't even know, you know, before this, there wasn't a giant Ronda Rousey name. This is, for folks at home who don't know, this is Ronda Rousey's mother. Before there was all the hype, you know, she's just a person, and these guys are at Go Corps and Jeans, and it's really amazing to have seen the way your daughter has blown out on the main stage. And I met you as you, and then I got to get to know your daughter a little bit more because of that. And so I've kind of like really gotten to see like you, and you blow my mind up all the time, right in the dojo. She came into the dojo and she broke it down. She broke it down in a way that a lot of other guest instructors didn't. And she really assessed what we were missing in the class and what we needed to work on. And that got me right away, because people at home don't know, I am a freak for my martial arts. And compared to this woman, I'm just a dilettante. I'm just a guy, amateur jackass. And this is the real thing. She's a 6th-degree black belt in judo. And where have you competed?
Well, I won the world championships in Vienna, Austria. And I won the Pacific Rim championships in Hong Kong and the Pan American Games in Caracas, Venezuela. And I won the Austrian Open in Linz, Austria. I won the U.S. Open three times. I'm pretty sure it was three times. It's been a long time. I'm America's oldest living world champion.
Well, I'm going to insert here a just damn.
Yeah. And then besides that, Josh, she's a doctor and she's working with numbers and stats and figures. And she's a game designer. For the folks at home who have been listening long enough, she's the creator of Spirit Lake, the game that we were working on the Kickstarter program last year. And you just recently moved that up a notch, didn't you?
Right. Thanks to the Kickstarter people, in large part, we were able to demonstrate that we had commercial potential. We got a $450,000 grant from USDA under the Rural Economic Development Fund. And what we're aiming at for this game is to provide something not just fun, though fun is a big part of it. If you were a kid in math, when you were, you know, think when you were 9, 10, 11 years old, and presume you didn't like math class. If somebody instead said, hey, you can play this video game instead of having math class today, how much would that improve your life, you know? And not only did we design a game that schools will let kids play instead of math class, but we, because I really do have a PhD, we studied it and we had kids at two schools play the game twice a week and kids at a school 30 miles away on the same reservation just have their regular math class. And the kids who played our game for 8 weeks did substantially better than the kids who just had the regular math class. And so not only does it improve the kids' math scores, but it also is really fun to play. And the pilot study was convincing enough that, like I said, USDA gave us $450,000, and we're going to be rolling it out on another reservation. We're going back to the reservation we did our pilot testing on. And we also are able to give away licenses to Title I schools if they're in our service area, which is Southern California, Northern California, and North Dakota. So I wanted to do something that made people's lives better, not just made us more money. Because, because at the end, you know, at the end of your life, what do? Just lay on a bed of money and say, I did well? You know, I'd like to be able to look back and say that I did something to make the world a better place, even by some small amount. And so that's what we're trying to do, is make school more fun for kids while at the same time they learn more. And mm-hmm. I look at my life, you know, I got into judo. I was not a very good kid. You know, if you read the book, Winning on the Ground, I kind of allude to that a little bit. And if it
I think it kind of is shown too by your fighting style. Before Rhonda, before your daughter was breaking arms, you were breaking arms, and you have quite a collection of broken arms in your history.
Yes. She's actually by far nicer and more mellow than I was when
you're kidding me.
Oh no.
Wow, because you know, for people that have never met her, there's a fierce fire. You can sometimes look at people and different people that train in the dojo, and you could just feel an energy, and there's something in the blood, and she definitely has that crazy wild drive. And I can only imagine, because I've, you know, hung out with you enough times and had enough beers with you to talk to you about your past, that's part of what surprises me. When you guys, you don't understand, she's this demure lady. She's not what you would think, some kind of scary-looking martial arts person. And when you get the doc's answering machine, you've got this cute little, hi, you've reached Dr. DeMars. And I laugh my ass off. I'm like, who are you fooling? But, you know, you've calmed down quite a bit. I know I've calmed down in my life, and through talking to you, you definitely let me know a lot about your past. And I'm impressed with your family. Like, I've gotten to meet, you know, your daughters and some of their husbands and be sitting around them at the fights. And I've just been very impressed that through everything you've been through in your life, you have been able to be successful in multiple ventures. You've been successful with your judo. Facing, and this is something we haven't discussed, you had a debilitating injury to your knee. And in judo, you need your post leg to be throwing people. So this injury in your leg caused you to kind of, in a way, reinvent judo to suit you. And that really impressed me.
That's true. And I tell Rhonda all the time she owes me big, because it just coincidentally happened that a lot of the style that I developed worked really well for MMA. You know, mm-hmm. that I couldn't stand up and fight and get a nice grip and all that, because if I stood up too long, my knee would collapse. I couldn't do a lot of those throws. So my plan was to take them to the ground and break something on them.
Yeah, which worked.
Yeah. Well, you know, also I was not, as you have alluded to, the nicest little girl. And if it came down to it, the referee was going to give it to the other girl. And I knew that.
Right.
And a friend of mine told me years ago, if you get the person in an arm bar and the referee doesn't call it, just break their arm. Because after that, you're fighting a one-armed woman. And if you can't beat a one-armed woman, you deserve to lose. So I think arm bars are a great thing.
For the folks at home who don't know, Dr. DeMars trained a lot extensively with Gokor when he first came over to this country, and you guys were both training on the Olympic judo teams, correct?
Well, I was training for the World Championships. They didn't have women in the Olympics yet, and there were a lot of guys from our club who were on the Olympic team. But unfortunately, Gokor, because he wasn't a citizen, he trained with us, but he didn't have the opportunity to try out for the U.S. Olympic team because he wasn't a citizen. So I really felt kind of bad for him, you know, because here's this guy that's in here fighting and training as much as everybody else, but then he doesn't get his shot at the Olympics because he had come from Armenia. And so it was kind of sad.
And frankly, Gokor's gifted. He is a gifted martial artist. And the other part of martial arts that people give a lot of short shrift to is what I found in my lifetime is most of the best martial artists are actually really intelligent. They're engineers, they're doctors, they're veterinarian medicine people. I got my training in college. That's where I first started my martial arts with Taekwondo. And most of those people were really, really smart. Like Gokor speaks at least 4 or 5 languages, right?
I think you're right. He speaks English, Armenian, Russian for sure, and probably a couple others. I don't know.
Yeah, and he's a crazy computer maniac. And look at you. You're not just out there breaking arms and scaring the shit out of your competition. You went on and became highly educated, and you've got this computer game. And this computer game rocks. I got involved because I was very impressed with what she was doing, and the game is fun. The game is a lot of fun, and I saw the potential there, and that's why I got behind the fundraising on Kickstarter and was so happy to be involved and help the game happen, because we need more of this kind of thing. When I talk on the show, I talk a lot about people getting up and adding to people's lives, like getting involved and getting off your butt. And your book kicked me in the ass, Doc. Reading Winning from the Ground, there's a lot in there that I was slacking on in my life, and I was reading this book, and I'm like, are you talking to me? Damn it. And I actually had to put the book down a little while because I was feeling guilty because you were nailing some of the, how do I put this, the endless twittering we have in this country where people would rather tweet about it than do it.
Well, it was funny writing the book. You know, Jimmy and I and the editor kind of went back and forth because as you read Winning on the Ground, I tried to be like talking to somebody. And I knew someone who published a lot of textbooks and that were way better than the average textbook. He was an editor. And I asked him how he got such good books out of people because, you know, it was kind of the same population of writers that everybody else deals with. And he said, I really try to get writers to think about the person reading their book, trying to understand the subject. He goes, I've even gone as far as to get a cutout, like take a picture of a college student and get a cutout like they have on the beach, you know, where you take next to stand up and take your picture next to Tom Cruise or the president or whatever. And he's right. Always have them put it up in their office and imagine that you're writing for this person or talking to this person. So, you know, writing a book, I read so many books that were boring. And maybe that should be our tagline for 7th Generation Games, you know, stamping out boredom or something. But why does school have to be so boring? Why does learning anything, whether it's math or judo, have to be so boring? Where did we get the stupid idea that we have to give some pompous attitude and just use every time? I also want to stamp out the word utilized. What's wrong with use? You know, how come we always think we have to use 4-syllable words when a 1-syllable word would work? How come we think that we can't just talk to people and say, look, if you think that you're going to read this book and find the magic technique that you're not going to have to train hard to develop, you're wrong. That winning comes from hard work, but you need to work the right thing. So if you're willing to work hard, that's one. And now that you've read this far, two, here's a breakdown of some things that you can do. And what you said, I think we said this in the book, and if not, we should have. There are no stupid champions. A friend of mine said that. I wouldn't say that's 100% true because I've met a couple of stupid champions. By and large, judo rewards intelligence. And that's kind of what I sat down when I was a teenager, believe it or not. You know, I got into college at 16. I graduated at 19. So it's pretty evident to me that, okay, one of the things I have going for me is intelligence. You know, you don't finish college at 19 and get your MBA at 21 if you're a dummy. How could I make that, take that asset and apply it to judo? So I started analyzing things, which kind of maybe figures how I went into math and statistics and programming later. I started analyzing things and said, okay, first of all...
And gee, aren't women supposed to be no good at math? Gosh, oh golly, women aren't supposed to be able to fight. Gee whiz, they're not supposed to be good at math.
Well, you know, that's another funny thing. I've noticed that women in martial arts are disproportionately in non-traditional professions like engineering, construction. Totally. So I think that's, and I think it's maybe both cause and effect, that if you get used to being in an environment with men all the time, it doesn't bother you that your career is men all the time. And since a lot of male-oriented careers tend to pay better, women who are used to being around men in combat sports aren't dissuaded from that. And the other thing is because, you know, there is a lot of sexism in the world still today. And if you're used to men trying to choke you and knock you down, if you go into a boardroom and somebody says, what's that little girl doing here? That's not going to stop you. You know, you
it's just also not going to. Does it bother you in the same way? Like after you've had rough and tumble, serious play where you could really get hurt, does the language bother you as much?
The language doesn't bother me. I think the thing maybe had more of an effect when I was younger is the sort of subtle discouragement that girls get, that they don't get encouraged to take advanced math classes. They don't get offered the opportunities for a promotion in engineering field. So I think that part impacted me because I wasn't so aware of it. If somebody comes up to me and says, you can't have this job because you're a woman, then boy, I'm ready to just go right through them and prove them wrong. But I think that more kind of subtle discouragement, the lack of encouragement, the lack of being offered the opportunities that are offered to men. And I think it happens to people who don't fit the demographic. You know, the idea of an engineer is a Mark Zuckerberg or somebody who's, you know, an Asian male outsourced in India or China. It's not somebody that looks like me, you know, a Latina grandmother. So it doesn't bother me now because I'm very aware of it. But I think when I was younger, that was probably more of a negative for me. And it's often so subtle, it's harder to fight back against. You know, the people who say, you're a woman, you can't do this, they're easier to fight against.
I would say that you prove that women can do this.
Yeah, look at your daughter. She kicked her kicked in the doors of the UFC. And, you know, all of your daughters are go-getters. I've talked to them. They're all really interesting people to talk to. And that right there, I think, is a mark of success. Is when I first moved to L.A. and was looking for a new school to train in, I was told, well, go judge the school by the quality of their students. Don't just look at the head instructor. Look at his students. And so I look around you. One of the reasons I respect you is because you have dealt with a lot of adversity. You've dealt with a lot of heavy stuff in your life, and you didn't cry about it and let it become the excuse to keep you down. It was the excuse to go forward. And that right there, I think, is something that I really respect about you and stands out in my mind.
Well, thank you. I had a friend that was telling me after my husband had passed away, around his dad, she said, I'm just so amazed that you came back to California and you started a business and, you know, you're doing so well. And how did you manage to pick yourself up, you know, with having your husband having died and all the medical bills and all those problems, and then just go forward and become really successful and found the Julia Group and then found Seven Generation Games? How could you do that? And I told you, I never really thought of it in those terms. It was just, there are two choices. You know, I can sit here and cry and feel sorry for myself and let the rest of my life suck, or I could not. And I figure option B was a much better choice. So I just did whatever I could to make sure that my girls were taken care of and the rest of my life did not suck.
That's kind of what I've seen growing up. I've been pretty lucky in that I've had very good parental figures. I had a good dad. I had a good mom. And my mother and father divorced. So my mom raised us on her own. My father was a part of our life. But still, I have so much respect for what she had to deal with as a single mother and the sacrifices involved. And so I grew up around a strong, educated woman. My mom went to college for physics in the 60s, didn't quite make it because her small town education didn't give her enough to be able to compete, and she had to change her major. But I really like I think there's a fallacy in this country. I think they try to portray that the only women that are sexy are these dumbed down little bips. And I like strong women. I like strong, pushing forward women. Then, and you know, the beauty goes hand in hand with that, because, you know, you are not just a Latina grandma. You are not. You are out there on the mat throwing people around still. You're in great shape, you know, and people wouldn't look at you and think, oh, there goes grandma. And that is more than just your training. It's like you said, it's your philosophy of life that you've applied. And every time you ran into an impediment, instead of you going, oh, that's holding me down, you used it as a step up, it seems to me.
Well, what's the other choice? I mean, like I said, your choice is to let things hold you back or not. And it's, you know, people say it's not that simple, but really it is. I mean, the deciding part is simple. Now, actually making it happen, yeah, going and getting a PhD when I had 3 children under age 5 was not easy. I had a lot of help. You know, I was very fortunate. My husband at the time, you know, Ron, he had a good job. We were able to pay for a full-time housekeeper. I got a scholarship, a fellowship that, you know, paid for my college expenses. But on the other hand, I got that fellowship because I busted my ass, you know, all, when I was younger, studying in college, in high school, in graduate school. And so, yes, the world is not fair. And if you're born not wealthy, if you're not white, if you're not male, if you're, you know, in certain groups, it may be harder for you. And that's not fair. And that sucks. You can still do it. It's harder. It's not fair that it's easier for other people, but you can't change, you know, you can't change the world, all of it, overnight. So you just go and bang away at the obstacles until they fall down.
I think what you're saying is very important. I was raised, my old man used to say this to me all the time, life ain't fair. Get used to it. Deal with it. Life ain't fair. Quit your crying. Life ain't fair. Deal with it. You're just going to sit there and let it beat you? Life ain't fair. And he never taught me this expectation that life would be fair. And so many people seem to use that as an excuse. You know, oh, that wasn't fair. I give up. Oh, this politician I voted for isn't who I thought he was. I give up. And that's why I really enjoy, you know, being around people like you, are like, okay, yeah, that's right. Life ain't fair. Deal with it. Let's move on. Let's have a beer. Let's have a smile. Let's do something to help each other.
And, you know, I had, when I teach judo, I have a rule, the 5-minute crying rule. No matter who you are, what happens.
five minute crying rule.
Yes. So maybe if it hurts, or, you know, you're just having a bad day, everybody has bad days. You don't have to be invincible. You hurt your toe, you're upset, your girlfriend broke up with you, whatever. You have 5 minutes during practice that you can cry. And it's cumulative. So if you go off and cry for 2 minutes, the next time you got 3 minutes. But anybody at any point, we were at the Austrian Open, and Rhonda was, I think she must have turned 17 that week. And she won her first match, and she lost the second match, and she went up, and she was just crying and crying. Because Rhonda cries over everything. And she was very sad she lost. And I went up to her and I said, you got 5 minutes. You cry for 5 minutes and get another match. Yes, things go wrong and you sit down and you cry and then you say, okay, I got that out of the way. You pick yourself up and you keep going.
All right, guys, on that note, we're going to go to commercial break where I'm going to have my 5-minute cry break. And before we get too deep in the commercials, guys, I'm going to go and throw my pitch. You guys have heard me talk about Hydra Blue. It's a really fantastic water. It's high frequency water. I buy it myself. Use the coupon code word horror. Coupon code word horror. You're going to get 15% off your order. And this is really great water. It's in good bottles that are safe. You could ship them. You could leave it out in the sun. You'll be fine. All good stuff. So go to HydraBlue.com. Use the coupon code horror. Tell them Hart Fisher sent you. Get 15% off your order. We're going to break. We'll be right back with Mother of War. We'll be right back.
strange man working together. They both can fight black and white, and they're tough guys. They're your friend through thick and thin, cause they're good guys. Make them mad and then you've had it from two tough guys. Two tough guys. Two tough guys.
Horror movies for free, all night and all day, 7 days a week at filmon.com. Premiering Saturday, September 28th, 14-year-old film director Johnny Dickey writes, directs, and stars in Slaughter Tales, an homage to every bad VHS movie ever made in the world premiere of the all-new American horror series, It Came from VHS. Be the first fiend on your block arrested for wearing the American Horror's Asshole Remover t-shirt, only for monsters with big balls. Available for just $24.95 at AmericanHorrors.com.
Welcome back to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me is Josh Hadley, and my guest this week is Dr. Anne Maria DeMars. You may know her as the mother of Ronda Rousey, the UFC's very first female champion, and I just know her as a really great person to work with and somebody I really respect, and I'll say it, I look up to you. You blow me away. And you know what, people at home, for my big mouth, the doc knows how to take the wind out of my sails. Believe me, she could shut me down with two sentences. That's something I like, too. I like being around people that could shut the blowhard down a little bit. And the doc knows how to do that, don't you, Doc?
Yes, and I like the idea of being looked up to by somebody who's 2 feet taller than me.
Yeah, right? No, I do. You blow my mind. The fact that you've kind of, in a way, reinvented judo due to your leg injury, which is, you know, necessity breeding innovation. And that's amazing. And then you and I got to work together on your Spirit Lake Games, which I think is fantastic. And then I came down and I got to interview you at Gompers Middle School. And why don't you tell my audience what you guys are doing with Gompers Judo?
Well, Gompers is a middle school in Watts, so anything that you think of as far as quality indicators for a community that's high, that should be high, Watts is low on, like academic achievement at the school, attendance, anything like that, anything you think that they ought to be low on, they're high on, as in, you know, incidents with students bringing weapons to school or just everything. So it's a really high need school. And my daughter, Jennifer, who is the second of my four daughters, did her student teaching there. And while she was student teaching, the Jose Gonzalez, the teacher supervising her, said, you know, it'd be really great if we had an after school program for the kids in martial arts, because it'd be really good for them. And your sister just won a medal in the Olympics. Do you think she might know someone who would volunteer here? So Jennifer asked Rhonda, and Rhonda said, I'll do it. So she just won a bronze medal in the Olympics. She was working, I think, three jobs to pay the bills, you know, all at minimum wage. And every Friday she would go down to Gompers and teach judo. And she did that for 2 years. And then as she had started doing MMA, her MMA career got to be bigger and bigger, and there were more and more times she couldn't go. So I'd substitute for her and teach judo when she couldn't make it. And then after, I think, 2 years, she said she wasn't going to be able to do it anymore, because then she was flying all over the place to do these interviews for Strikeforce and compete. Rather than see the program go under, I took over. And so now it's me and my friend Richard Elizalde, who had also been at Tenri Dojo back in the day with me and Gokor. And so Blinky and I teach there, and it's terrific. It's the longest running after school program at Gompers. This is our fifth year. Everything is donated. The mats are donated. Our time is donated. We now have three teachers from LA Unified who come every Friday. So, you know, we kind of have official adult supervision. And it's nice because we had new mats donated this year. My mom, for her 80th birthday, my sister donated mats and a new crash pad in her name. So we're able to have, right now, we've limited the class to 16 kids. And then Jesse Moya from Moya Brand Geese has given us some more mats, so we may be able to expand it to 20. So we could take as many kids as we could fit in the mat. Every time we get new mats, we expand it. And then it really ticks me off that Rhonda, sometimes people say negative things about her because they saw something in the media. Oh, she said this on some TV show. She's a really good person. Not only did she volunteer here for free for 2 years, not only did she start the program, but there's a tournament in Kansas City, the AAU Judo Nationals, and she thought I should take some of the kids, and they really did not have the funds to fly to Kansas City, stay in a hotel for 2 or 3 days, you know, eat out for 2 or 3 days. So Rhonda came over to my house, donated literally the shirt off her back, took one of the hoodie she had from the Ultimate Fighter show, autographed that, autographed one of her shirts from when she was on the Pan Am Games. And then the folks from Armbar Nation, the fan site, they donated a bunch of shirts that said, you know, stuff like, you know, if it isn't done rowdy, it isn't done right, stuff like that. She autographed all them, and they auctioned them off on eBay, and all the money went to sending the kids to this tournament. And then some gentleman had donated, I think, $400 so that we could send another kid. We still had just about enough to send four students plus one teacher. So Rhonda said, well, I'll kick another $500 of my own money, and then you can send five kids. So we're all leaving Thursday for Kansas City.
That's fantastic. That is what I'm talking about. That is the thing that, you know, everybody gets on Twitter and they talk about who cried or who said what about whose boobs. And it's all stuff that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And then the thing that actually means something gets total short thrift.
Exactly. Yes. I get interviewed all the time. They're asking about, oh, what do I think about Rhonda fighting this person or that person? Or how much did she cry? And nobody says, oh, and that's amazing that while she's in Bulgaria filming a movie and training twice a day for a fight,
yeah,
literally the day before she steps on the plane, she thinks to come over to your house and autograph all the stuff and give her own money to send these kids to a tournament that wouldn't have had a chance to go. Yeah, all that's, you're exactly right. All that stuff just kind of gets short shrifted. It really kind of irks me.
They really talk about the wrong things. They really do. And they seem to want to talk about ridiculous stuff like, you know, who said what about who. When you're in a game where you're going to punch each other in the mouth and you're going to break each other's limbs, who gives a fuck what fucking words you fucking used, you fucking candy ass motherfucker, you know? And that's something I like about you too. She's, folks at home, Dr. DeMars is very salt of the earth, very regular person, very straight ahead. You're very unlike most people I meet in California that people talk about granola eating hippie weirdos. You're really down to earth, and you're very problem-solving orientated. Our society seems really geared towards complaining a problem to death instead of getting off our asses and fixing it.
Well, that's true. But I think you have to work within the constraints that you have. So, for example, with both the book that we wrote and the game, we're always kind of skirting the edge of what we can get away with. So, like the game, where, you know, it's used in schools. A lot of people buy it individually for, you know, their kids to play, but it's used in schools. So it's kind of right at that age where, for example, one math problem, they're dividing up the hunters into hunting parties, and there's 8 people in a hunting party. And so we have a little graphic that shows that if you have 51 people, there's going to be 3 left over. It shows them all sorted out, and it shows the 3 guys in that are left over don't get to go, going, yeah, this sucks. You know, the teachers kind of, well, I don't know. But, you know, they let it slide. So everywhere in there, if they kill an animal and it's dead, it can't be too bloody, you know, but but they're like, you're shooting animals, but they let it slide. So we're kind of constantly going on that edge of what's literally edgy, you know, what's fun for the kids, what's interesting, but what can we slip by the censors? And it's the same with the book. I mean, yeah, they took out all the swearing in it. There's a lot of smart-ass remarks left in there.
Yeah, because folks at home, this woman's a smart-ass and a half. And she's got an eye. You know, that's what I like. I like people with an eye. And when you get to the upper echelons and you're standing there and you're having a conversation with Gene LaBelle, then you find out the guy was a painter and he has artwork in his home that's actually pretty good. And you're hanging out with a guy like Benny the Jet, and you start talking with these people and you find out none of these people are dumb thugs. None of them. They're all so talented in so many ways. And so's like Rhonda. And how has been the effect of, like, there's starting to be more trash talk on Twitter and stuff? How does that affect your daughter? How does that affect her sister, her little sister?
The little one, I think Julie is very, very smart. And I think she just kind of looks at it all with a jaundiced eye. They don't know her. You know, everybody has a backstory. And the kind of person that's willing to judge someone from the tiniest sliver of a fraction of their life they've seen probably is the person's opinion you want to be worried about.
Yeah, I definitely know. I mean, and hey, Rhonda's bitten my head off. I've shot off my big mouth and she bit my head off, which was fine. You know, I'm used to that when you got a big mouth. So, Doc, I'm really happy to hear that your daughter, your youngest daughter, is handling it pretty well, because you never really know what's going to happen to the family when the trash talk starts. I know that in my career, when the media came down on me, it affected my family in a big way.
Well, I think our whole family is, as you said, a group of strong women, and my husband being a strong man, I think we try very hard to live life by our own rules. And I don't mean that as in we go out and shoot people or anything, but that we're not too concerned about, oh, you should have this kind of house. You should have this kind of car. Oh, the ladies at the PTA should like you. You know, if they do, fine. If they don't, fine. I live here. I'm happy. So I think we have pretty thick skins, all of us, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, your husband definitely does. Dennis, he cracks me up because he's always got like a little – he's watching an amused smile on his face.
This will give you some insight into Dennis. Once when Rhonda was little, she was on the swim team and she was late coming out to swim practice because she was goofing off with her friends. And he tells me this, but he says, you know, I really wasn't bothered by it because there are some equations in topology that haven't been carried to their logical conclusion. And I was trying to solve those in my head while I was waiting for her. And I said, you know, dear, most people when their child's late coming out, they listen to the radio. But that's Dennis.
Yeah, that's funny. I was cracking up watching the documentary on Rhonda, and they were talking about her being on the swim team, and she had said something on Ultimate Fighter about how swimmers will shave their arms for that extra second, that extra edge to win. And I can remember doing that in high school for the big state meets. You know, I shaved – folks at home, I have shaved my legs and shaved my arms, and I've done all that. It was an interesting feminization experience. And on that note – Doc, tell us where people can get your book and find you on Twitter.
They can get the book anywhere online, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, the Black Belt Magazine site. And I think it should be available in stores pretty soon. But for right now, anywhere that books are sold online, you can find Winning on the Ground. And Twitter, I'm at Dr. Dr. Ann Maria. My company account is 7GenGames, the number 7GenGames. And my personal work account is Ann Maria Stats. And you can also check out thejuliagroup.com, and that's my company. And I have a blog there where I ramble on about stuff related to small business. Or drannmaria.blogspot.com is the business / judo of life, where I ramble on about judo and life and whatever I feel like that day.
Fantastic. Folks at home, definitely find her judo blog. It's very worth your while to read. Because I've talked a lot on this show about how you can use martial arts philosophies and martial arts training in your life. Because a disciplined mind and a disciplined body, they go hand in hand. I'm Hart Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Shut our eyes, we stretch out our arms, and we're all in pain of it. fix on anything, the line of life, the limb of tree, the hands of he, and the promise that she is blessed among women.
Heart Attack is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.